The fourth myth. God more often seems to be a God of wrath than a God of love. Do we risk giving a misconception, a false impression about the God that we're talking about, even as we're rightly pointing out sin?
Well, it is a risk. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't talk about sin, though, because that's the message that God gives us to talk about. The Bible does say, though, in 1 John 4:8, that God is love. It never says that God is wrath. God's wrath is kindled against human sin and the people who commit those sins. Sin is nothing other than us saying that we'd like to kill God, if we could. Attempted deicide, if you will, so that we can be our own gods, so that we can fear and love and trust ourselves and not have any of his quote-unquote interference. Now, when God sees his creatures doing that, even though he created us in love, he reacts in his righteousness, and he says, no, that's not right. None is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And he determines to then treat us as people who have rebelled against him. As we said, a few minutes ago here, Todd, we don't see how great the glory of the gospel is unless we see that black backdrop of our sin.
Now, we have this teaching of God's wrath over sin, and you've just made very clear that there is this great love that God has for us in Christ Jesus. If this is true, and if God ultimately has this purpose of loving and saving all sinful mankind through his Son Jesus Christ, why does he allow hell to stay open for business?
We have to take God's love the way he gives it. Again, that's the first commandment. That's letting God be God. One of my seminary professors said, suppose you're capsized in a boat out on the lake, and along comes the rescue squad, and they toss you a life preserver, but before you'll let them take you in, you say, now wait a second. I want to get some questions answered here first. They told me at Sears this thing would never capsize, no matter how bad the waves got. You know, if you refuse the help that is being given you at the time and in the way that it's being given you, that's just the height of folly. Jesus says that hell was prepared for the devil and his evil angels, not for people, even though people do end up going there if they don't receive him by faith. Beyond that, we don't know. Why didn't God keep Adam and Eve from sinning in the first place? We don't know. But we do know that he created a world knowing full well that the fall into sin was going to take place and determining already from all eternity that he was going to do something about it by himself becoming flesh in the person of Jesus Christ and dying to redeem this world. Now that is his love. Think about the depth of that love. If you want to see God's true intention toward you, look at Christ on the cross, suffering the pangs of hell, of separation from God in your place, crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He redeems us from the curse of the law, St. Paul says, by becoming a curse for us. God is love, and his forgiving love is in Christ, and outside of Christ, there is nothing but separation from God, now temporarily and eventually eternally. And beyond that, I don't think we can explain it.
You know, we have that passage, John 3:16, that is, I think, sometimes a little misunderstood when people hear the words, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who should believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. They think in terms of God loving the world so much.
Yeah, the word much is not in that passage.
It's God loved the world in this way. In thusly he loved the world, he gave his Son. I think you're just, it's a point that you just made that just bears repeating. If you want to know whether or not and how God loves you, look at Jesus Christ on the cross.
And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son to be the complete propitiation for our sins.